Have you ever considered what it would be like to create a movement? A movement doesn't have to involve thousands upon thousands of people. It might just be moving your office personnel in the same direction at one time. Have you ever thought about the value and the importance of authenticity in the life of the leader? Oh, I tell you what, today, you do not want to miss this podcast. It is strong, and I hope that you will stay tuned with me on Life and Leadership Today.
Today more than ever, our homes, churches, and nation need strong leadership. Ronnie Floyd has over 30 years of experience leading one of the largest churches in America. He has led the largest evangelical community in the nation and is influencing the country with strong biblical convictions. And he believes that people can change the world. With his legacy of influence, Ronnie Floyd is committed to the development of leaders. And now, here's your host, Ronnie Floyd, on Life and Leadership Today.
Our guest today is Brad Lamanuk, the past leader of Catalyst, the largest gathering of young Christian leaders in the nation. He's the author of The Catalyst Leader and H3 Leadership, where he talks about the core leadership principles of stay hungry, stay humble, always hustle. More than nearly anyone, Brad has been investing his life into young leaders across the country for a number of initiatives, and many believe he is one of the most connected leaders in the entire nation. He believes strongly in the power of collaboration and giving freely of his wisdom and connections, and as a result, many thousands consider him a key to their success and influence. Brad, I want to thank you today for being on Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today.
Dr. Ronnie, I'm honored, man. Can you send me that intro? I need that from now on. I want that. I want it in your voice, so it can just be our, you know, like audio over the crowd.
That'd be outstanding. I'll try to be sure we send it to you.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody will enjoy it besides you. Amen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I really am honored, and you know, to talk leadership with you is an honor, and you've been living it out and leading and being faithful and building something for a long time. So, you know, this is one of those things that hopefully our combined collective chemistry will create some explosions for your listeners.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Brad. And, you know, speaking of leaders, you know, Brad, just recently I had Lou Giglio on, and we talked about that next generation a little bit, not the entire podcast, but definitely some. And I know that young leaders are on your heart. I would like to ask you from this perspective, though, what are young leaders thinking about today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say a couple of things. One would be legacy. And, you know, that seems somewhat surprising. But I think the idea of 20 and 30 somethings, especially looking around going, you know what, like, I want to finish well. Mm. And I think so many of their peers, they're watching, who have been given opportunities way before they were ready. And I love that. I mean, I lean into that. And I think it's part of the beauty of this generation is right. That they don't want to wait. However, mm-hmm. with that early responsibility and early opportunities, many of them are struggling with the who. They're struggling with, you know, the character stuff. They're struggling with all the things that, you know, in the past would have had a little bit more time to season. So that's a big one.
That's great.
It's legacy. And, you know, a lot of us who are older, we think, really? Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. And what it does is requires us who are older to be part of that equation, because yes. We have to step in and mentor them. And even not knowing how we're supposed to even show up to the first meeting sometimes, you know, we're kind of awkward and we're sitting around going, well, they won't ask me for their input. I'm like, well, don't even wait for them to ask. Just jump in there, because they're starving for it. They're hungry for it. They need it. They will honor you if you'll invest in them. And they just many times don't even know how to ask for it, though. So that's a big one.
What does that mean to you? I mean, when you think about one day leaving a legacy, and to some degree you're living a legacy because of your influence with young leaders.
Well, I've got two kind of legacy statements that I feel like for me have been foundational from a calling side. One is to influence the influencers. And that I've been able to do that through 20 plus years now of different seasons of assignment. And that's been working for John Maxwell. It's been leading Catalyst. But that's been my mantra in terms of I want to influence the people that are influencing people. And the other piece for me is that I want to build platforms that other people can stand on. And as I get older, that really, I think that's now kind of driving my second half of my arc and my career and legacy is that build platforms, create things, be an aggregator, be a curator that other people then are benefiting from.
Well, you get to a point in your life, you realize that one of the greatest things you can do is connect leaders with leaders.
Yes.
You know, Brad, in your real commitment about staying humble, it takes a humble man to be willing to share a platform, to extend a platform, to connect a friend with another friend. And you really talk about that some in your book, about staying hungry and being willing to stay humble and to keep on hustling through it all. Talk to us about that today.
Those three words, humble, hungry, hustle, and this idea of be humble, stay hungry, always hustle, that's been a practical life mantra. And it's a three-legged stool, right? I mean, you can't have the humble without the hungry and hustle, and you can't have the hustle without the humble and hungry. Because I know a lot of leaders who have a lot of hustle but have no humility. And they run over people, and it's all about them, and they're building everything for their gain. And then I know a lot of humble leaders who have no hunger or hustle, and they're incredibly great to be around. You know, you love being friends with them, but they don't do anything. Even with my transition, Ronnie, from leading Catalyst, I mean, the season I was in, I was kind of at the pinnacle of what many would say would be the leadership gathering that everybody wants to lead or be part of. And the way I could make sure that I stewarded that properly, or at least I hope this was true, was that I was so confident in my calling that it allowed me to be incredibly content with where I was. And I think calling and confidence and contentment all is fueled by a sense of humility. And that humility is built then on self-awareness. And I think the opposite of humility is actually insecurity. And arrogance many times gets the word that we choose. You know, if somebody says, what's the opposite of humility? It's arrogance. Well, I think that's a symptom many times of insecurity. And so secure leaders are the confident leaders who actually are the most humble. So the more humble you are, the more confident you are walking in, being self-aware, and it allows you then to pursue your calling with great intention. I'm not a person who would naturally say, oh, you go ahead. You know, I'm going to be humble in this situation. And you know, humility is not weakness. It's power, and it's confidence, and it's self-awareness. It's all under control.
That's right.
And it's all built out of contentment. So that's allowed me to be fueled in a way that gave me the ability to, again, step into these different places of and seasons of life and leadership.
Well, that's so strong, Brad. Thanks for sharing that. And you know, when you look back at your Catalyst journey, and you look back at the movement that was created, and the movement that is still alive, when you think through that, beyond the God factor, which obviously God wanted it raised up, and I'm not minimizing that, because we know that it was of Him and is of Him. But when you look at what happened, were there one or two or three things that just really created a movement? Because so many people, they really want to create a movement. They want to see change about something in their life. People are very passionate, as you know, about a lot of different things. Some are not always the best in the world, but then some and many are the best thing. But what are those two or three factors that occurred beyond the God factor that made Catalyst what it is today?
Vision that was big enough to let lots and lots and lots of leaders feel like they owned.
Hmm.
And we made the circle really wide, and we allowed lots of people to feel like they were owners. And even with our volunteers, you know, we had hundreds and hundreds of volunteers and group leaders that would show up at the event every year or different events, and they would use possessive language. And these are folks that, you know, they acted like they were on the team, and they felt the ownership of what we were building. And people would say, "Hey, do you work for Catalyst?" And they're like, "Well, sure. Well, do you, like, are you in their office?" "No, I live in Columbus, Ohio." "Well, what are you doing here?" "Well, I volunteer every year." "And well, you sure sound like you're on the team." They're like, "I am." And just that sense that we kept allowing people to feel like they were part of building the story.
Yeah, that's great.
And the story part was so crucial too. I mean, this is so monumental today more than ever. Is if you're gonna build a movement, you got to tell a story. There's got to be a story that's big enough and wide enough and exciting enough, with enough zeal and energy and world-changing sort of mentality, that people go, "I got to be part of that. I don't want to miss out on that." We made it about a larger tribe and community than we did about certain people. And people would go, "Really? Like, those two people are showing up at the same event?" And they would many times, you know, meet each other in the green room or somewhere backstage and have a conversation and walk away and go, "Wow, like, I really actually like you, you know, we're going to be friends from now on." And just that sense that we allowed the table to be bigger. And I think what we found out, or what we would hear, is that Callus is educating us as the church and as Christians and as leaders that we can disagree with people, but yet we can still work together with them to accomplish a big goal.
That's great, Brad. Well, you know, you talk to business leaders all over the country, and obviously through Catalyst and what you do even today in helping people, you not only deal with the Christian side, the ministry side, but you talk to people from all walks of life. And I'm confident that along the way, people want to drill down on you and with you and say, "Hey, Brad, why don't you tell me two or three things I need to do in my business to really make it become what it needs to become?" Let's act like that's exactly who is on this podcast today listening. Would you tell business leaders today, political leaders, educational leaders, whoever and whatever they lead, tell them something that will really help them in relationship to building whatever it is on their heart to build?
First thing would be that your authenticity is the currency that you have in leadership today. The who of what you do is starving for the real thing. And so you are required to be an authentic leader today, period. And if you're leading from a place of inauthenticness, of you're hiding things, or you're discongruent between your internal and external, you're walking around in reality deprivation syndrome because this thing has been built, and all of a sudden you've got people that are closest to you that won't tell you what you need to hear. They only tell you what you want to hear. I mean, all those things, you got to lean back into that, and it's, you're responsible for creating an authentic culture. And if you create that, especially young leaders, man, they will flock to you. They will just show up in droves because, and it doesn't mean, I mean, Craig Rochelle says this all the time, and it's so true, that we're not looking for perfect leaders. We're not looking for relevant leaders. We're looking for authentic leaders.
That's good.
I want to follow a leader who's real compared to a leader who's right. And so this is so important today more than ever, is authenticity. You got to have it. You got to lead from it. You got to be willing to step into it. Vulnerability, honesty. You know, Pat Lencioni says it great, Ronnie. He's, you know, his thing is the old days of leadership, never let them see you sweat. You know, that was the mantra, the old Spice commercial.
That's
and
right.
Pat says nowadays, it's show them your pit stains. You know, like just raise that arm up and look and go, hey, everybody, check that out, man. Isn't that
That's
awesome?
Good.
You know, the other one is the hustle factor. And, you know, you there are times that you can only do what you need to do as the CEO, the president, the executive director. And that might mean you're in the office having that conversation. But if you can at any time, lean into hustle, which is that it's about execution and it's about making things happen and getting things done, and that you're a finisher, that you're an initiator, that you're an anticipator, and that you're willing to get in the trenches with your team. And you got like dirt under your fingernails next to the team in the trench. And it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you don't ever go in the corner office and prop your feet up. But what it does mean is that you're willing to do both. You got the microphone in one hand and you got the shovel in the other. And that's what leaders want. Again, you know, the young leader will flock to you if you're willing to get down in the dirt with them. And the idea of leaders being out in front as well as beside their team is now sort of the mantra, and that we want to believe that you're with us, not that you're just over us.
That's good.
So changing your perspective from I'm a boss to I'm a coach.
Well, your words right there will help a lot of leaders ascend. Hey, well, let me ask you, Brad, in relationship to leadership and to leaders that you've been around in your life, which you've been around an extraordinary group of leaders, but tell us that one or two or three leaders that have really impacted your life and why.
John Maxwell is definitely one. And John was, you know, in many ways, at a stage of when I was late 20s, early 30s, John invested in me, and I got to work around him and be around him and just soaking up the extras and kind of picking up the breadcrumbs in many ways was enough to lift me to a new level. I also had a mentor when I was working on a ranch in Colorado just after college. And I'm 21, 22. I'm a knucklehead. You know, I just graduated University of Oklahoma and I don't know what I want to do in life. And I'm working on this ranch in Colorado playing cowboy. And the founder of Lost Valley Ranch, a guy named Bob Foster, who just passed away last year. He was 94. Wow. But at the time he was 75, and here I am, a knucklehead, 20 something. And he mentored me, and for 4 years we had breakfast together.
My goodness.
Every Friday morning. And I didn't realize it until I was there and actually working for Bob and being around Bob that, you know, his friend circle were people like Dawson Troutman, who had started the Navigators, and Chuck Swindoll and Howard Hendricks and Billy Graham and Cliff Barrows, and the list goes on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is, I'm getting to drip off of the wisdom of some of the great patriarchs of the faith.
Amazing.
And Bob would tell me every Friday, he would say, Brad, your 20s establish your 70s. The what I'm doing now determines what I will become in the future. And those two men, probably more than anybody else, have been huge impacts on my life.
That is a powerful story. Hey, well, let me ask you one final question, Brad, before we go today. What's on your heart? I mean, man, you're involved in a lot of things. Tell me what you're most passionate about today, and what God seems to have you involved in today, or what you see toward the future.
Yeah, and I think it's two things. One, it's that I'm in this season. Actually three things. In this season, I want to love Jesus and I want to build the church. Although here's the lesson for all the business leaders out there listening: is that my role in building the church is equally as important as Dr. Ronnie Floyd and Louis Giglio and many other pastors who are doing it full time.
That's right.
And do not neglect your role in that, and also do not neglect your passion and your need for being housed and grounded in the local church. The second thing would be that I want to invest in young leaders, and I'm a 40 something now. So my job is to translate between generations. I'm the X in the middle that is now curating and translating and aggregating for young leaders, and I'm going to lift them up and give them opportunities, but do it in a way that allows them to pass me by. And then the third thing I'm doing is that I went from gathering thousands and doing that on a normal regular basis with Catalyst and great season to now I'm gathering tens who are actually going to gather the thousands.
That's good.
And it's a new place of leadership for me. It's sort of in the shadows. It's kind of behind the scenes, but it's just as powerful and I'm loving it. I love the small little circle. I kind of get to impact on a big basis that hopefully they're going to go out and impact lots and lots of people.
Well, Brad, you have been absolutely outstanding. You really have.
Well, thank you.
I want to thank you for your investment on Ronnie Floyd in life and leadership today.
Thanks for having me on. Honored.
Well, it doesn't matter what you do in your life, whatever your age, your stage, your generation may be, we have all just been taken to school in these moments together. Brad was outstanding, and that's why I want you to get a copy of one or both of Brad's books, The Catalyst Leader, and then his newest release, H3 Leadership. And I also want to encourage you to share this podcast with friends around the world. We need your help. So would you do it? This would be the kind of podcast you could sit down and listen to as a group of people in your office complex, your staff team, because what he shared is relevant to every one of our lives. And I would love for you to go and to rate and review this podcast and tell your friends again to join us week by week here on Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today. I hope that you will determine right now in your life that you're going to put into action one or two or three of the things that Brad Lominick talked to you about today. I'm Ronnie Floyd, and I thank you so much for joining me today on Life and Leadership.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Please subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with others. Also follow Ronnie via social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Ronnie Floyd. Learn more about Ronnie by visiting ronniefloyd.com. Don't forget to join us next week as we spend time learning together about life and leadership today.